The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Hello and welcome to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and I'm excited about today's show. I want to make a couple of announcements first. Two days ago, I launched a campaign on Indiegogo.com. That's I-N-D-I-E-G-O-G-O, Indiegogo.com, to engage more people in supporting the show. And it's called Friends of Family First. Go to that website and read all about it and watch my first ever YouTube video about the campaign. I'd really appreciate it. You can support the company from $6 to as many dollars as you want, or just tell all your friends about the show and about our campaign. So today we're going to be talking about what Buy USA Made can mean for you and how the word is getting out, with my guest working very hard on that. So are social media a distraction or obsession, or can they be a force for positive change? Will our children waste time and energy and become sleep deprived just going to another site or video game? Or will they find a way to use this new tool to make their world a better place? My guest this week on Family First is dedicated to making social media an instrument of change. Sarah Maison is a registered nurse, active blogger, new mom, and leader in the movement to live simply and buy what's needed from American manufacturers and from one's local community. Sarah Maison developed her growing blog, MadeInUSAChallenge.com, to build on her love for writing and her desire to explore American consumerism and associated issues. Sarah specializes in health and wellness, informatics and technology, and research and writing. So hopefully on this show, we're going to find out how to build your family's health and our nation's economy by being conscious consumers and communicators. I'll tell you a little more about Sarah's background. She has an RN and a BSN. She's editor-in-chief of her blog, MadeInUSAChallenge.com. And there she explores conscious consumerism from an economic, environmental, and human rights perspective. She highlights products made in the USA that help strengthen our economy, protect our environment, safeguard our families from toxins, and minimize our exploitation of others in developing countries. She's developed her site into a resource for concerned consumers to find the best products made in America, as well as to generate a dialogue about our consumerism. She also collaborates with businesses to promote ethically made products manufactured locally and creates social media marketing strategies to help connect Made in America businesses and their consumers. As a registered nurse, she's worked both in the hospital and outpatient setting, specializing in patient education. She currently works in the healthcare informatics industry and obtains critical data measures and patient outcome reports. So welcome to Family First, Sarah Maison.
Hi, Randy. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So let's start out by asking, how did you first become interested in conscious consumerism?
Well, I'd like to think that I've been a conscious consumer since I was a child. I've definitely always been very curious and aware of things I was doing and the impact of choices I made. I really became heightened in this interest when I was expecting my son. That's the time when you are planning, you know, not only for caring for your child, but also all the baby gear that you need. And so my husband and I, you know, researching products for our baby registry, figuring out what we really needed, and just started examining more of the products, not only what kind of ingredients are made in them, how are they being made, and where are they being made. Then, you know, we had our son, and the amount of stuff we started accumulating really concerned both of us, and so much of it was plastic stuff, toys. It was just very excessive. So we, you know, we're very mindful of that and trying to examine kind of how we could be more mindful with our consumerism. And one thing we were very conscious about, environmentally friendly products, and we noticed with a lot of products, especially baby products that were being marketed as green and environmentally friendly, that most of them actually seemed that on their labels that were made in China. And that seemed a little counterintuitive to me, that a product that was trying its best to be environmentally friendly was being made overseas, being shipped very far to the consumer, and, you know, being made under uncertain labor conditions that we don't want to support. So I started looking for alternatives that were made locally, that were truly environmentally conscious, made ethically, and a huge thing was safety. The recalls of toys made in China had happened about 2 years before I had my son, and that still weighed very heavily on my mind because, you know, they don't have the same regulations in other countries as we do here. I think that the regulations we have here could also be increased, but the fact that I think it's 92% of toys used by American children are made in China is very alarming. And the sheer amount of recalls of products for being tainted with toxins or having safety hazards, it's very alarming. And as parents and as consumers, we just need to look more closely at all of these issues.
Yeah, that's great. I know when I was teaching nutrition, new parents or expected parents were taking a whole second look at how they were living and what they were using. And that's an amazing statistic, 92% of the child products from China and the recalls. And you don't ever know if you're using something like that. There might be a recall a year later and your child's right. already been exposed to whatever it is.
Right.
So vetting our products makes a whole lot of sense. So what do you see as the major benefits? And I'd love to go through these different areas because consumers are often overwhelmed by the whole different aspects, like you're saying, the labor situation, mm-hmm. the toxins, the quality, and just how much stuff there is. Just when we had our kids, actually, we were living in a farmhouse in upstate New York. We were homesteading and we kind of made everything. We were amazed when we visited friends back in Pennsylvania. They had rooms full of all these plastic toys and we're like, a kid doesn't need all those.
Right, exactly.
And I carried my
yourself. That's as local as it can get, and that I'm a huge supporter of do it yourself. And supporting handmade products. And there's tons of moms that sell amazing handmade products on Etsy and other sites like that, that I think that's the, you know, a great way to start with moving to more locally made products. But you were touching about what all the benefits are.
Yeah.
And there are so many. The most obvious that I think people talk about the most is obviously the economy. Buying products that are made in America strengthens America's economy. It creates jobs. It helps build up our manufacturing sector, which has been hit over decades and is just starting to be revived. So anytime we buy something that is made in USA, we're voting for increasing manufacturing. We're voting to increase our own local jobs, and we're voting against outsourcing. So So we're creating that demand because it is about supply and demand. You know, it is hard to find things often that are made in America, but the more we do that, the more demand that will be created, and then ultimately the supply will increase. So that, you know, the most obvious is the economy. But over the year and a half that I've been doing this, I've found a ton of other issues, a huge being the environment. And that's another thing that a lot of people are interested in right now. And I think in a lot of ways, the green movement, buy green once was the big buzzword, is now becoming buy American. Because I think a lot of people are starting to make the connection between the two of those. And like I mentioned, with a lot of products, you know, being advertised as environmentally friendly, but then being made in China, I think people are starting to question that. And the reason that I think there is a strong link between the two is the biggest issue just being that the closer to manufacturing that you can consume something, the smaller the carbon footprint is going to be. So if you're buying something from China, obviously a lot of precious resources are going to be utilized to have that shipped all the way to us in the USA. That's very far from the manufacturing, and the consumer are very cut off from each other on that. Also, in other countries like China, I mentioned that just because of the sheer volume of things made there, don't have environmental protections like we do. They don't have an EPA. The regulations they do have, they aren't really enforced. So, you know, here in the U.S., products that are made here have to meet standards for clean air, clean water, and clean land. So that provides a little bit more of assurance that a product is a little more environmentally friendly. Another issue related to that is human rights and the labor issues, like you mentioned, and just the fact that when we are so cut off from our manufacturing, we lose that human element to the fact that every product we have, somebody made it. And, you know, I read somewhere that in a sense, everything is handmade to a degree. But it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. So when something is made so far away, we don't know what's going into it. You know, there still is huge tragedy of child labor and forced labor and all kinds of unsafe and unfair labor conditions that millions of people are working under in countries around the world to supply consumers here in America with our products. And I think a way to protect those workers is to stop purchasing those products. A lot of people think, you know, sweatshops provide opportunities for workers in other countries, but I just don't agree with that. The research I've done has shown that it's just basically a cycle of poverty. And, you know, the wages that are paid in sweatshops never provide any opportunity for something better. Workers can't send money home to their families, and the cycle just continues. Then the children have to work in the factories, and the only way to break that cycle, I think, is education and not employment. So that's the human rights sort of perspective that I've examined, and I think is very interesting and very important, and not always talked about related to Made in USA. Another issue, which we already touched on with toys, is safety. And we have the Consumer Product Safety Commission in the U.S., and that is responsible for regulating products as far as their safety, testing them for toxins, health hazards, any risks that they may pose. So that provides a level of protection as well. And the other thing is just our communities and building up our local communities, you know, supporting small businesses right in our own towns, valuing craftsmanship and manufacturing and skills and people who can make things using their own hands, and buying things in your community, invest in your own community. If you choose to spend your money at big box stores, a very small percentage of the money actually stays in your community. And when you spend it at a smaller store that's locally owned, mom and pop sort of store, a much larger percentage is reinvested in your own community, and that, you know, that benefits everyone.
For sure, yes, those are really great points. I know for building small business, economists say that our whole economy is built on small business, and to bring manufacturing back by voting with your consumer dollar, that's really the only way to give them the support they need to hire people and make things locally. That makes perfect sense. And I've heard recently, I guess the most recent recalls have been of candy, where there's lead in the candies from China, and they kids, you know, they get candy as rewards by a lot of parents, and at school they trade for it with their friends, and here they're getting exposed to lead. That's just one of the more recent things. Mm-hmm. and toxins in food, and I'm not sure you can call candy a food, but in things that kids use, it's really scary. So being able to limit the toxins in a child's environment or an adult's environment is huge. So it can be daunting to think of all these things, but it makes sense to focus on the local idea too, because then you know who made it. You can talk to the people and see what they put in their candy or what they feed their goat. Also have that human connection that we are all connected. So that makes so much sense. And I love what you said about the sweatshops, that sometimes we hear that, well, at least it's giving them an income, but it's not the kind of income. We went through a horrible time in the Industrial Revolution where peasants were coming to the city and getting in these dark places filled with fumes and toxins. And some of the developing countries are going through that now, but we don't need to encourage it.
Right.
But there are better ways to go. And education, I know there's a lot of, the charities that educate women, particularly in third world countries, to make things in their home, to develop home-based businesses, like the Thousand Villages kind of thing,
trade is a big thing that I advocate for. If there's a product that can't be made locally, of course, there's a lot of, you know, elements and materials around the world that are not native to North America. So when you're looking for products like that, fair trade is a great way to go, because then you know that, you know, a fair trade certified product, it's not taking advantage of the workers. The workers, everything along the supply chain is insured for, you know, safety, and those products, buying them helps support, you know, a lot of times women in developing countries, in rural communities, to have a chance to support their families and provide opportunities that way.
Exactly. We're speaking with Sarah Zone, and we're up on our first break. So come on back, and we're going to talk about trends in conscious consumerism and how to raise the consciousness of our population through digital networks and other ways. So stay tuned.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun?
Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're talking with Sarah Mizzone about why buy U.S. made can mean a lot for you, and we've discussed a number of different topics, and Sarah's also a registered nurse and has a wonderful blog called MadeInUSAChallenge.com, and in her nursing work, she's done a lot with data management and patient education, and she's put all those skills into this blog to educate consumers about how to make intelligent choices and vote with their dollars every day. And it really impacts us, particularly when you're a parent and there's all these products being thrown at you for your baby and your toddler and your kid, and being a conscious consumer makes a huge difference in how we impact the economy, our children's health, our own health, human rights around the world, and our local economy, whether we're bringing back manufacturing or not. So we've touched on a lot of different elements, and I want to talk about some of them in more detail. I wanted to ask you first, Sarah, about, has your experience as a registered nurse added to your conviction of the need to think more thoroughly about conscious consumption?
I think it does. I think, you know, the reason I became a nurse was out of concern for people's well-being. And I think I bring my perspective of wellness and health to everything I do. And I think that, you know, is definitely an extension of my background in more direct patient care.
Cool. Yeah, I figured that adds to, I mean, a lot of people are concerned, but they may not have that experience and that analytical mind to pull it all together. So thank you for that. What about the issue of just consuming less? Like I said earlier, when we had our kids, we were minimalist. We were rebuilding our home, and I made the kids clothes when they were babies, and they made toys, you know, they found toys in the backyard, sticks and stones, mm-hmm. and carrots and you name it. How does that feed into your work of just looking at things and saying, do I really need this?
Yeah, I think consuming less is huge. And with my whole buy local challenge, I think a huge part of it is just mindfulness with our consuming. And when you go to buy something, a lot of times there's impulse buys or something that, you know, you'll pick up. And just if you took that extra moment to just think, do I really need this? How often am I going to use this Is it worth whatever impact this product is creating? And I know for myself, since I've started doing that, I've purchased way less, which I know a lot of people have found surprising, because a lot of people think it's difficult or even impossible to buy things made in USA because they seem more expensive. So a lot of people are surprised to hear that since I've been undertaking this challenge to buy pretty much exclusively made in USA, I have definitely saved money. And that just comes by default of purchasing less. I think that it comes down to quality over quantity, and the purchases we do make, if we're more mindful of them and they're more researched, they're more of an investment, and they are things that are going to last generations instead of a lot of the part of, you know, living in a disposable culture. We buy new fashions every year. A lot of products are intentionally manufactured to be disposable and need to be continuously replaced. And if you looked at the cost in the long term of doing that on a continuous basis, it's actually a lot more expensive than investing in something that is much more durable.
That makes so much sense, and it's a really important factor, because so many people are concerned with the expense of living, and advertising is all about more disposable and impulse kinds of purchases. And yeah, you do have to step back and think for a moment, and why am I buying this? What is it going to do? How long am I going to use it? Mm-hmm. It reminds me, my grandmother used to talk to me about built-in obsolescence. And she said that this was back in the 60s, and she said that's the new economy is building in obsolescence, because my mom had a refrigerator that lasted, you know, 25 years, but then now people expect to replace it because the front doesn't look modern anymore, or it's going to break up in 7 years, or the ice maker stops working after 3. So that built-in obsolescence, my grandmother predicted this was going to be a big deal. So I know you also advocate reusing products, and that you can save so much money that way, and put it into quality and long-lasting things that you really need. So can you talk more about that, like reusing hand-me-down toys or clothes or whatever?
Yeah, I think when I started buying more locally, I also bought a lot more used. And it makes sense for a lot of reasons. When I can't find something, either if I can't find something made in USA or it's something that has a large impact, I look for used options. And there are a lot of easy ways to do that today. We check thrift stores like Goodwill. I go to consignment sales, especially for products for my son. You do have to, you know, check the reports of recalls and things like that when you're getting things used. But a lot of the times the products that you'll find, especially at Goodwill, I've been shocked how much I've found that's made in America, because a lot of these products are so much older and from a time when we were manufacturing our own products. And those things were made to last, and they're still around today. And buying them used and reusing them after someone doesn't have a use for them anymore is a great way to, you know, keep the usefulness in something that otherwise would be going to the landfill, and that, you know, is just contributing to the problem. And when you do need a product that is not available to be made locally, I look to buy it used, because I feel like if unfair labor went into that and it was shipped, it had a huge carbon footprint being shipped across, you know, across the Atlantic, at least I'm saving it from the landfill, and all of those resources that went into that product are not in vain. So reusing just makes a lot of sense on those fronts. And, of course, you can get a bargain. So for being people, you know, mindful of finances also, it makes a lot of sense.
Yes, it's a lot of great points. Now, I want to go back to something you said, that you have committed yourself to exclusive Made in USA, and you're saying that has heightened your awareness of the different factors that go into it, the economic and the consuming less and reusing and getting quality over quantity. So how has that been? You've been doing that for, you said, a year and a half?
Yeah, I started it in April of 2011, so it's been about a year and a half.
Awesome. And have you seen other people inspired by your example?
Well, I have really amazing followers, readers that leave me comments, and on my Facebook page, I have some pretty active followers that leave me comments, and that honestly is what keeps me writing my blog, having people, you know, I've learned a ton on so many issues, you know, related to Buying Made in USA and related completely to other topics, through social media and through my challenge and the people that I've met. And I forget what your original question is. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. How other people have been inspired by your commitment to be exclusively U.S. made.
Right. I think in the beginning, a lot of people felt a little perhaps negative about it because it can seem like I'm trying to be critical of consumers' choices and, you know, people that just look at the bottom line. And I'm trying to look at this from a positive perspective. I'm not about boycotts. I'm not about bashing products or brands or companies. I'm just about supporting the alternatives that I think are a better alternative. And, you know, I'm far from a perfect consumer myself. And I've, you know, prior to this, I did not always look at labels to see where things were made. And I'm still learning about different issues that need to be considered with purchases on a regular basis. So I think if you just look at it from a positive perspective of, you know, like a lifelong learning experience, that most people are very, very interested, and there's been, you know, a lot of amazing support given to me in this, and it's been a huge learning experience.
That's awesome, and I think that's such an important point that you're, again, as we mentioned earlier, voting with your dollar, you're supporting those approaches that you like rather than, you know, running around complaining mm-hmm. about what isn't being done. You're actively supporting those policies and those actions that get us where you would like to see us in the future. So can we back up a little and ask you, what originally gave you the idea to create your Made in USA Challenge blog?
Well, after I had my son, I started reading blogs more in general. You know, there's a huge, you know, the term mommy bloggers. There are right. a ton of blogs for parenting advice and, you know, helping new moms feel connected. It can be an isolating experience. And I started reading a lot of those, and I just it kind of took off with reading all types of different blogs written by moms and non-moms. And at the same time, it was like a random Saturday morning. My husband and I decided to look, you know, go through our house and see what's made in USA. And I was kind of confident that we would have a lot of things that were made in USA, since I thought I was a pretty conscious consumer, and we were very conscious of environmental practices and supporting environmentally friendly products. And I was very surprised to find that, you know, the vast majority of things that we had in our own household were not made in USA. So I decided to explore that more. And my idea was, it actually started as a little bit of a mall project. And I started the blog by going to the King of Prussia Mall, which is actually by retail space the largest mall in America. It's right. not doesn't have the largest number of stores, but it has the largest retail space, and I happen to live about 15 minutes from it. So I decided I was going to go into every store in the mall and try to find one product in each store that was made in USA. And if I couldn't find something American made in a store, I would talk to the store associates and the managers and find out, you know, why, you know, what barriers did they face in sourcing their products, and what went into their choices for manufacturing, and just having that interaction and starting that dialogue with different stores and just getting different perspectives and responses. It was very interesting. So I started with just doing blog posts every time I visited a store, and I did a little kind of wrap-up review of each store with, did I find anything, and what was the response of the manager, and then a little background information on the corporation about their, you know, corporate responsibility and their track record that way. And it kind of took off from there because I got started being approached via email and Facebook and other social media mediums by a lot of small businesses, a lot of mom inventors, and different people who had somehow, you know, started reading my blog and had, you know, something to share with people with their product, how they were doing things differently. And I was very inspired by a lot of the stories that people were sharing with me. So I kind of started expanding my blog and including products and companies that I wanted to highlight that I really believed in, interviewing different small business entrepreneurs, especially women, and then covering a lot of topics that came up throughout my exploring. Like I went into Borders and I looked for books made in America, and that's when Borders was closing because so many people were using e-readers, and they brought up this whole issue of literacy. So I did a whole feature on literacy. I've covered, you know, hunger. Like right now, September is National Hunger Action Month, and so I'm covering that on my blog right now, and having access to local food supplies. And just how many issues it's branched out into has been really amazing. And just, you know, the ways that are so easy for all of us to, impact change in so many different arenas. Just even, you know, in the comfort of our own home and as moms, being able to do that while we're at home with our children, is huge. And I don't think, you know, that was something that was as easy or as available to previous generations.
That's fantastic. It's amazing how everything's linked together. And that's such an important point in what you're sharing, that it affects hunger around the world, literacy, and what a great way to start that mall project, to just go out there and talk to managers. That's gutsy and very valuable. So I can see why your blog has really blossomed. And I want to make sure people know it's madeinusachallenge.com. We're coming up on our next break, Sarah. So listeners, please stay tuned. We're going to get some more insights from Sarah before the end of the show. So stay tuned.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Sarah Maison, who's a registered nurse and the editor-in-chief of MadeInUSAChallenge.com, which is a wonderful blog where she explores conscious consumerism from an economic, environmental, and human rights and safety and health perspective. And we've been talking about all those different benefits and how they're all linked together, and that we vote every day with our dollar when we're choosing products to consume or not consume. And I wanted to ask you, Sarah, about the recent conference you went to. When I met you, you were on your way to this conference, and of women bloggers. So can you tell us about that experience?
Huge social media force of women bloggers. It was in New York City, August 2nd through 4th, so a little over a month ago, which is amazing because of everything that has happened since then. There was close to, I believe, 5,000 bloggers attended, mostly female, but there were, male bloggers also. And, basically it was a 3-day event where bloggers from not only America, but across the world met and shared each of our individual passions, what we are doing to create change was a huge part of it. One of the biggest things I took away from it was the impact for social change that bloggers can have. The opening address was actually done by President Obama, which was via a live video feed, which I was thrilled to see.
It just
made me feel, you know, proud to be part of this community of women that are using social media for greater good. And the other keynotes were by Martha Stewart, very successful businesswoman, and Katie Couric, who a journalist who has used her following for a lot of good causes, particularly in cancer awareness and a lot of other issues she spoke about. And just having them address bloggers specifically was really, really outstanding. Just meeting other bloggers, the different campaigns and stories that women are contributing, whether, you know, a lot of people are focusing on parenting, but everyone's got a different angle to bring to it. I met a ton of environmentally focused bloggers, which was very inspiring. There was a session that in particularly I enjoyed. It was actually entitled, I believe, Using Online, I think, Organizations to Create Change. And it was led by a couple leaders of nonprofits that are targeted at moms, including Moms Rising, Moms Clean Air Force, which is a nonprofit that I've been involved with, and Smart Girl Politics. And it was specifically about how we can mobilize people, you know, create awareness and create action using our social media followings. Not just, you know, a lot of people think of boycotts like we mentioned before, but also petitions online have been hugely successful. And I know you in the beginning mentioned that you are starting an Indiegogo campaign, which is great. A lot of companies and nonprofits that I've worked with have used both that and Kickstarter.com
right.
to raise awareness and funds for causes that they believe in and to get small businesses up and off the ground. And just sharing our passions with the world. Moms Clean Air Force is a nonprofit that I've joined as a blogger and volunteer locally in Pennsylvania. And they have this term they use called naptime activism, which I think, yeah, is very good. And basically, we as moms, you know, even if we feel kind of trapped in our home sometimes, taking care of our young children, we still have a way to connect with the outside world, even if it's not in the workplace, and use our voice and our thoughts and our experiences and expertise to spread awareness and create huge change. And there have been, you know, numerous examples of people being successful doing that, especially thinking of a couple of petitions I've been involved in. There was a petition through change.org, and mm-hmm. there's some through, I believe, care.org, or it may be care.com. I'm not positive. There was a petition through, I believe it was International Fund for Labor Relations, did a petition to Gymboree, which is a producer of children's clothing. And they had
right.
been using cotton from Uzbekistan, where it's actually mandated by the government that children are pulled out of school during the harvest season for cotton, and they are mandated to collect a certain amount of cotton from the fields per pound per day. It's mandated by law and through the government. And a lot of companies, you know, they obviously are doing this in a very cheap way, and so they can sell that cotton to companies at a very low rate because of that unfair labor. And there was a lot of companies that it came out that they were sourcing their cotton in this way, and so this petition was created, and it really took off in media. A lot of outlets picked it up, and it got a huge number of signatures. And Gymboree actually ended up responding that they had cut that supply chain off, and they were issuing a company standard that they would not be sourcing any cotton through Uzbekistan or through any type of known forced or child labor. So that was huge. There have been, just in the year I've been doing this, you know, a couple like that. Johnson & Johnson recently was under pressure to change the formulation of their baby wash because, you know, the No More Tears formulation of their baby shampoo is actually tear-free because it contains numbing agents.
Right, I know.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people didn't know that. And a lot of hospitals use it for, you know, giving babies their first bath, and it's very, you know, trusted and supposed to be this wholesome brand in America. And, you know, it came to light what a lot of these ingredients were. A lot of them are formaldehyde releasing chemicals that are in there. And a petition was started, and it kind of took off when it was found that the formulation of the baby wash was actually different in different countries. Depending on where they were selling it. And I believe, like, in Canada and in Europe, it did not have these toxins that it did have in places like the U.S. and China. So people spoke out and, you know, we're not going to buy your body wash if it has this in it. And they have agreed to phase out the use of those specific chemicals. I think they agreed to have it phased out by 2014. There is a timeline. It's not immediate. But for a company that large to, I think, respond to an online campaign in that way, I think is, you know, a testament to the power of social media for the positive.
For sure, yes. It's amazing that finally consumers can aggregate their votes. I mean, I can go into a store and not buy their product, but they're not going to get that message from one person.
Yeah, but social media has really connected the consumer directly with the brands and the corporations because, you know, before you had a 1-800 number or, you know, mailing address that you could contact and you probably would never hear something. But now you can go onto a company's Facebook page, you can go to their Twitter account and ask them questions and other people see those questions. So they're pretty motivated to provide a, you know, a real answer and think about, you know, what people are going to take away from the message that they are putting out there on those pages.
Right. Yes, it's amazing. I regularly get emails from Change.com and Mother Rising, Moms Rising, and and it's so easy. If it's a topic that you care about, it's so easy to join a petition, and then they know how the consumers feel about something.
Right.
And there's never been a way before that I could. I mean, I don't have any babies, but I can certainly right now, you know, I used to, but I can, add my voice to say, well, let's get the numbing agents out of the baby shampoo.
Yeah.
And they want to look good. I mean, every, company wants a good, strong brand name that people respect. So, getting this information out. Is, and then finding out that they don't have, it doesn't have to be in there. In other countries that are stricter about the ingredients, they don't put it in. Then we're like, why don't we get the best quality here in America? So,
right.
It's very powerful to be able to aggregate our opinions like that. So you mentioned that, even with just being a mom at home, which I really encourage, you know, his first couple of years, it's so important for some parent to be there and to be able to not feel isolated during nap time, getting on the internet and actually voting with your opinions and your consumer choices. That's a very powerful thing that mothers can do. And like we said at the beginning, mothers are probably the most motivated because they want a safe, healthy environment for their children to grow up in. So it's very powerful. So are there any other stories that you can share from the conference? Obviously inspired you and you've gotten more response. You made a lot of connections there, I assume.
Yeah, and just met a lot of inspiring women to, you know, platforming all kinds of issues. I met a woman who has undergone a challenge of her own to have no plastic in her life. Her name is Beth Terry, and I bought the book from her while I was there. It's called Plastic Free. And she's been doing it for a couple of years, and she does not purchase anything with plastic in it. And to me, that's amazing to have accomplished that. And she has a blog, you know, about her challenge and is showing people how to decrease their use of plastic. And just since I've come back and read her book, it's opened my eyes to a lot of issues with sustainability that way, and that kind of got me interested more in, I recently got involved with the campaign just here locally in Philly to ban single-use disposable plastic bags in stores. So I've been involved with that campaign, Ban Philly Plastic Bags is the name of the campaign, and that's become, you know, something I've been interested in. I also met a woman who is creating a documentary called Toxic Baby that is going to be very eye-opening about the toxins in all of our products. And, you know, women are not only creating blogs and writing books, they're creating documentaries, like just that women are using, you know, moms from their homes are creating so many different outlets to spread messages, and they're, you know, involving their children, and I think, you know, setting a great example for our children growing up on how to be a concerned citizen and consumer, and that's a great, you know, message and example for them to see.
Yes, for sure. You know, your story about plastic reminds me, I had a friend visiting from Florida one time, and she went in the refrigerator to get some milk, and she looked and she said, "Wait a minute, you don't have any plastic in your refrigerator. You've got everything stored in glass." And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't want to be eating plastic." And she's like, "Wow." But the social media allows you to spread that word and to learn about this book and on living plastic free, and the toxic baby documentary sounds fascinating. I know they say that babies, a typical American baby is born with 200 dangerous toxins in their body, born with it. It's not even from their baby food or the toys they play with. So we have a lot of work ahead of us, and we just have a couple minutes left, but I wanted to ask you, you know, a lot of us who are older, we were thinking about these issues in the 70s. So how do you stay positive and optimistic when there is so many challenges out there?
I think I just stay positive by probably surrounding myself with other positive people and just getting feedback from people and support. And I think people have always cared, and I think people continue to care. I think people just probably, the awareness isn't always there. I don't think anybody doesn't want to support buying local or buying environmentally friendly or ethically made. I think people just aren't aware about the issues and their impact as a consumer. So I think, particularly with this generation and us having more access to social media and everyone being more connected, I think I feel a lot more optimistic that the message is getting out there and that it's getting easier and people are more tuned into making these changes and educating themselves and sharing the message. I think social media has made that so easy to share things with others. And I think there's a lot of ways that you can see that contributing to things. I think people are asking for things to be made in USA more. When I go to stores and talk to managers, they're hearing people ask that more. You're seeing, I think, a lot more reusable items on the market. And I think those are in a big part a reflection of things that people are hearing about.
That's great. Sarah, I'm going to have to end our interview. We're up on the end of the show, and I so appreciate it. And that's a great note to end on, that things are changing, and we have so much power with the social media to do that. And thank you so much for being our guest on Family First, and keep up the good work. Everybody, please go to her blog, madeinusachallenge.com. There's so much information on there and more all the time. So thanks again, Sarah, for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Randy, and thank you for all the information that you provide for families as well.
Oh, thank you. Take care now.
You too.
We want to see this show continue and reach more and more families. We already have 45,000 listeners every month, and it's growing every month. So thank you for spreading the word, and thank you for doing all you can to make healthy, happy families and a healthy, happy world. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.